You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
From January 1st, 2025, the New Zealand Council of Legal Education has plans to make teaching tikanga Māori and te ao Māori compulsory in the legal curriculum for students, meaning all law courses will have a compulsory tikanga Māori component. On the 7th of May, King's Counsel Gary Judd filed a complaint to the government's Regulations Review Committee over this move, claiming that tikanga didn't fall under, quote, proper law subjects. I spoke to Ko Tumuaki at Te Hunga Roia Māori o Aotearoa, Tai Ahu, Waikato Ngāti Kuhu Te Pātū about these changes to the legal curriculum and the role of tikanga Māori in law. And just for those who don't know, would you be able to firstly explain what tikanga is?
So tikanga, if we break down the word, refers to doing what's good or what's right. It's made up of the word tika, and when you combine it with that suffix, it turns into basically a noun that means a system of regulating the behaviour of individuals. And tikanga Māori, at one end of the spectrum, refers to principles that a lot of New Zealanders will know about, such as kaitiakitanga, manaakitanga, aroha, those kind of values or principles. And then at the other end of the spectrum, it refers to rules that manifest those principles, that reflect those ideas. So, for example, it can govern things like whether you should take your shoes off when you enter into wharenui, or it can also speak to some sort of broader issues around processes like wānanga or instituting a rāhui or a prohibition over a certain area. So when we look at tikanga, we are looking at a spectrum of principles, values and rules that govern the behaviour of individuals.
Would you be able to give a couple of examples of how tikanga has been employed in law in the past?
So I think it's important to recognise that it has been relevant and referred to as a source of law since the colonial officials arrived in New Zealand. So, for example, about the cases referred to tikanga Māori, there's an early case called Te Rangi Tā Piripiri where tikanga Māori was found to apply amongst the Māori communities and was binding as a source of law within those communities. It's also been incorporated into a lot of different statutes. So acts that Parliament passes, many of them will refer to tikanga principles or tikanga values or just tikanga itself. And what's happened recently is that there's been a lot of cases that have come out of the courts, right from the High Court and even actually, sorry, the Māori Land Court and the District Court to the Supreme Court, where tikanga Māori is being recognised as a system of law in its own right. So, for example, in the case of Takamori, an executor might be bound by tikanga Māori when they are dealing with the estate of the deceased. In another case called TTRL, tikanga Māori was found to be relevant as an existing interest under the statutory framework in that case. So it has come into our law quite consistently in recent times.
And from January 1st, 2025, the New Zealand Council of Legal Education has plans to make teaching tikanga and te ao Māori compulsory in the legal curriculum. Do you think this will be a major shift for students learning, or have lecturers already been teaching tikanga regardless? Have you been teaching tikanga to your students, for instance?
Yes, I do. I teach tikanga Māori with a friend of mine, Horiana Ewan-Easthope, at the Victoria University of Wellington Law School. So all law schools, as far as I'm aware, they have tikanga courses, but they are what we call elective courses. So students have the ability to choose whether they want to take that course or not. As well as that, many law schools will teach components of tikanga Māori as part of their introductory paper. So if you're doing first year law, there often will be a component of tikanga Māori when you're learning about New Zealand legal system. And there's a really good reason for that, because English law applied insofar as it's relevant to the circumstances here in New Zealand. And what we say as Te Hungaroa Māori is that tikanga Māori is the first of those circumstances. So it's kind of like a foundational law, if you think of it in that way. Now, it will be a big shift because it's being made compulsory in law courses, but What I would say to people that are feeling uneasy about that or unsure is, if we take a step back, compulsory law courses are designed to give law students a firm grounding in areas of law that are relevant or could be relevant generally to legal practice in New Zealand. And it's becoming clear from statutes and from cases that I referred to earlier that tikanga Māori is increasingly relevant, and our students are going to need to be skilled in understanding and asking the right questions. So while it is a big shift, I think there are already courses where it is at least being taught as an elective paper, and it's a matter of building the capacity and skill base of our lecturers to ensure that they can deliver those courses with integrity.
And to kind of build on what you were saying earlier about how courts have been recognising the relevance of tikanga Māori, for example, in 2022 in the Peter Ellis case, the Supreme Court recognised tikanga as the first law of Aotearoa. But a couple of weeks ago, King's Counsel Gary Judd filed a complaint to the government's Regulations Review Committee over incoming compulsory tikanga Māori studies for law students because it didn't fall under, quote, proper law subjects. If the Supreme Court and other courts have recognised the societal relevance and legal force of tikanga, how has Judd and others who have opposed making teaching it compulsory justified their arguments here?
Well, Gary Judd KC has justified his arguments based on his particular definition of law. So he basically says that law is a system of rules that people subscribe to and accept applies to them. So he takes, if I can say, a fairly Anglo-centric view of what law means. And then he says, well, if you look at tikanga, it doesn't meet that definition. Now, no one really today would firstly accept that that's the correct definition of law. Most of our legal thinkers and philosophers today would accept a broader definition of law that captures the same customs that were important in influencing the development of English law. So, for example, English common law is based on custom. And so when you see that definition of law that Gary Judd has employed, he's basically saying, well, so we can have English common law and custom can be law provided it's not Māori custom, because Gary Judd doesn't profess to have any particular skill or experience or expertise in tikanga Māori. So you just have to wonder, well, does he actually know what he's talking about, because he doesn't understand tikanga Māori? So I think our reaction is, no one's seriously arguing that law can only be the law that's understood by Anglo-centric countries. Everyone now is broadly accepts the idea that tikanga Māori can be law, and it is law, and it's important, I think, for our students to come to grips with it. And I'll just point out that last year there was a survey released, I think it was by the Auckland Law Students Association, I need to find out the reference, but it said that 85% of students were keen and interested to learn about tikanga Māori. So I think, I'm aware that the Law Students Association of New Zealand has come out in support of the recognition of tikanga and law. So, you know, we've moved on. The law evolves. What the law considers reasonable changes. And unfortunately for Mr. Judd, you know, the tide shifted and we're recognising tikanga Māori as law, and we should continue to support that, I think.
Mm. And in response to Judd's complaint, New Zealand First leader Winston Peters has said tikanga is not law, but that it is cultural indoctrination. What was your response to those comments?
I don't really have a response. I don't really pay much attention to Winston's views on whether tikanga Māori is or isn't cultural indoctrination. I mean, I've encouraged Mr. Peters to learn about his own tikanga Māori in Ngāti Wai and see whether or not his own iwi agrees with him, because I suspect that they don't.
And why do you think tikanga is so important in general for people to understand, but also specifically law students? What can tikanga teach us?
Tikanga can teach us about what's relevant and what speaks to Māori communities today, but it's also an important aspect of law generally in Aotearoa. So, for example, when we're trying to work out what's the right thing to do if two parties come before a judge and one party is Māori, we can apply ordinary English common law, but if we accept tikanga Māori as being part of what might have influenced a particular behaviour or a particular situation, then judges are just going to come to that question with a broader understanding of what might have occurred. Why people do things, I think, is what law is about, and tikanga Māori is an important aspect of why the Māori community in particular does things. And so I think it's just, you know, something that's relevant to judges, to lawyers and to law students. It's not the only thing that's relevant to understanding law, but all we're saying is that it is a component that law students should come out of law school with some understanding of. That's all. It's not saying that other law is no longer relevant or tort law or contract law is not part of a degree. It's to say, well, actually, Te Kanga Māori is also part of the mix of skills that we want our students to understand. And the other reason, too, is that Te Kanga Māori, the courts have said, might be relevant. We also need students to know when Te Kanga Māori might not be particularly relevant. And so that's another reason why we need law students to understand about what Te Kanga is, to help to draw distinctions, to help to look at facts in a particular way, to help to draw the conclusions that might be more reasonable if you have an understanding of Te Kanga Māori. So that's quite a complex mix of factors, and yeah, I think educating students to understand some of those questions can only be a good thing and not a bad thing.
That was Ko Tumuaki at Te Hunga Roia Māori o Aotearoa Tai Ahu, speaking to me about Te Kanga Māori as law with regards to it becoming compulsory to teach law students from 2025.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.